Grace and peace to you in the name of our risen Lord Jesus, who is the Christ. What a gift it is to celebrate together today and to receive a word from the Spirit as we turn to the Scriptures. Our first reading for today comes from the book of the prophet Isaiah in the 65th chapter. The book of Isaiah has a unique relationship to Jesus, it seems. Jesus read from Isaiah back at his very first sermon back in Luke chapter 4, where he said that these words have been fulfilled in your hearing them, and that he had come to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, release to the captives, sight to the blind, liberty for the oppressed, good news to the poor. And in our scripture reading for this morning, we hear a vision of the renewed heavens and earth. So let's listen now for God's word to us from the 65th chapter of Isaiah, verses 17 through 25. Look, I am about to create a new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people, and no more shall the sound of weeping be heard or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. We shall build houses and inhabit them, plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They will not plant and another eat, for like the days of a tree shall be the days of my people. And my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord and their descendants as well. For they call and I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. And the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion eat straw like the ox, and the serpent its food shall be dust. And they shall not hurt or destroy on my holy mountain. Thus says the Lord. May God bless the reading and receiving of Holy Scripture. And our gospel reading for this morning continues our journey in the Gospel of Luke. This calendar year, we've spent a lot of time with Luke. And as we go to our reading today, we remember that Herod and Pilate had conspired together to get rid of this nuisance, Jesus. But even as Pilate offered the crowds to release Jesus, even the crowds chose to release a violent insurrectionist named Barabbas, whose name means son of the Father. They chose Barabbas rather than the true son of the Father, whose peace would not come through violence. Then Jesus was marched to the place of the skull and executed by the state after a sham trial next to two criminals. One member of the council with a conscience was a man named Joseph from Arimathea. And he did the honorable thing, and he practiced some care for Jesus' body, wrapping it in a linen cloth and laying it in a rock-hewn tomb. And this is where our story starts this morning. So let's listen now for God's word to us from the Gospel of Luke, starting in chapter 23 at verse 54 and reading through chapter 24, verse 12. Listen for the gospel. It was the preparation day for the Sabbath, and the Sabbath was quickly approaching. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph of Arimathea, and they saw the tomb and how Jesus' body was lay in it. And then they went away and prepared fragrant spices and perfumed oils, and they rested on the Sabbath, in keeping with the commandment. But very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, the women went to the tomb, bringing the fragrant spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. They didn't know what to make of this. And suddenly, two men were standing beside them in gleaming bright clothing. The women were frightened and bowed their faces toward the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He isn't here, but has been raised. Remember what he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the human one must be handed over to sinners, be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words. When they returned from the tomb, they reported all of these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But their words struck the apostles as nonsense, and they didn't believe the women. But Peter ran to the tomb, and when he bent over to look inside, he saw only the linen cloth. And then he returned home, wondering to himself what had happened. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" they ask. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Each gospel's account of the resurrection has its slight differences and distinctions. What scenes are emphasized? What characters get names? Whether the messengers were dazzling or not in their clothing? But some things remain the same. It was the women who discovered that Christ's body was not where they'd last seen it. Women who were all too familiar with the ritual practices around death and burial, who were prepared that day with the spices and the colloquial liturgies that were used to honor the body of someone who had died, who faithfully attended to the rest of the Sabbath from this kind of work, but who diligently, at dawn's first light, made their way to the garden tomb. Women were the first to discover the truth, the open spaciousness of the tomb, and the word from divine messengers that Christ had been raised. And so they raced back to their counterparts to relay this information to them, only to have their experiences go unbelieved. Perhaps there is something about Christ's resurrection that simply has to be experienced, no matter how convincingly the story is told. In each of the gospel accounts of that day, there is something about a recognition that has to happen, an awakening from either remembering Christ's words, hearing one's own name from his mouth, seeing someone believed to be a gardener or a strange traveler walking along a road with you, seeing them do something familiar, like breaking and sharing bread. Something happens in the person who experiences the resurrection that awakens them to the aliveness of God's self in the world. I wonder how this Easter finds you. How do you come to this feast of the resurrection? One of the themes we've been exploring this Lent is that the fullness of the life of faith also includes the hardest parts of life. It doesn't avoid them. And one of the risks of Easter celebrations, especially if we have not attended to the liturgies and the scriptures around Maundy Thursday and Good Friday and Holy Saturday, is that we end up with a faith that seeks to spiritually bypass our grief and our struggles through some sort of anemic positivity. But when Mary Magdalene finds the tomb empty, she weeps. And she continues weeping. She is there to mourn. And it's through her tears and at the sound of her name that all of a sudden this man who she could not recognize, she sees as the risen Christ. The grief that these women are experiencing and their willingness to tend to the rituals and work of death and mourning might actually have been the keys to their front row seat to the resurrection.